Tú.
No?
No? Okay,
No? All
perfect.
right. Well, it's just us.
Okay.
You can join in anytime you want. No?
Cuando tú quieras decir algo, dices papá.
Papa.
¿No?
What's up, everybody? Eric here at an undisclosed location. Oh, I was gonna tell you too. Come June, we're gonna be neighbors.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I'm not moving on to like the same street, but right here down the street.
Oh, nice. Oh, no.
I don't want to
Yeah.
tell everybody the street I live
Oh,
on.
dude, we're gonna have neverías everywhere.
It's a trip though. It's so it's some personal news. I'm moving in June, and I'm gonna live in a place where like we'll be the first people there ever live there.
So it's new construction or?
It's a brand new building. Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
wow.
And
You're breaking it in.
it's owned by the whole lot. The property is a couple, and it's owned by an old Japanese couple.
Oh,
So this is
wow.
also the first time I have Japanese landlords.
That's
I've had
crazy.
like Caucasian,
Right.
white, Latino, and well, since living in Boyle Heights, yeah,
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
amazing.
Jewish.
That's awesome.
So I'm
That's awesome.
excited. I've been
Congrats.
packing a lot,
Yeah.
but yes, Boyle Heights, undisclosed location, breaking in the brand new audio equipment that I just bought.
Which is amazing.
We've been literally saving my pennies to buy over the last year or so, and I'm here with the homie Armando.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Let him know. Introduce yourself.
Armando Velez, resident and I guess native of Boyle Heights.
Yeah,
Yeah.
man. So we're here in his lovely home. His daughter, she's going back in. We were just hanging out. Thanks again for the mariscos from a local spot down the street, on First and Breed over by the Chase Mag. I think it's like mariscos something something, I forget.
Yeah, I'm not
But
quite sure what it is. I don't know where they're at.
the truck is there, and then they have a little pop-up restaurant too. So it's one of the mariscos places where I think maybe on Tuesday or Wednesdays, like the tacos are $1 or something.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
that's usually when you can find me there.
Yeah.
It's like, give me two tacos, a soda, boom, it's lunch for
That's
$5.
it. You
Not
can't
even
get any better than
$5.
that.
No, man. So, folks are still holding it down. But thank you, Armando. I know, and we'll get into it right now. You got like this world traveler schedule going on, in the industry that you're working in, and you got this hecticness going on, and you rarely get to spend time at home now too. So, I know that's always a struggle. So I appreciate you, giving me some time
No, and
to
thanks
do
for
this.
coming. Thanks for coming over. I know we were trying to get our schedules to link up for a while. He's like, "You got next week?" I was like, "No, I'm over here." He's
Even
like,
like
"You
this
got
week,
the
he's like,
following week?"
Friday. No, but I was like,
Yeah,
so
but
let me just clear the schedule and come out here.
yeah, but no, thank you for making time, and I'm glad that it finally worked out, you know?
Yeah, man. That's part again. That's also the reason why I upgraded the mobile setup from like the two USB mics I was using in my computer. So now with this, it's all self-contained. I got the mics. Boom.
You show up.
I just show up, and it's like it's so much more flexible. When I was playing around with it with the settings and everything, I might end up doing like a birthday housewarming, and I was like, has anybody ever recorded a podcast drunk? And I was maybe I want to say people probably were, like if you're in a studio or whatever, you're probably drinking and things like that. But
Right.
when I say drunk, I'm like
Like drunk history, drunk.
well, even like a step beyond that, because that's a production, right?
Right,
People are
right.
sitting and somebody's interviewing. I'm talking about like me and myself. I'm
Oh,
drunk,
you're just on your
and I just
couch
I
chilling.
no. Well, so it'll be at the party. So kind of a preview of
Of
things
what
to
to
come.
come?
I'll get the recorder, get the mics. It'd be like so and so. How like tell me something or whatever.
Right.
See what
Bring me
happens.
another beer.
Yeah, I stay with Chopper the most guys. But yeah, man. All right, let's get it started. Let folks know
Yeah, for sure.
where you grew up.
Like I mentioned, born and raised here in Boyle Heights. It's crazy. I guess in '82, a lot of babies were being made, and I was supposed to be born at General Hospital, like every other kid born in
Yeah,
Boyle Heights, right?
USC.
Yeah. And my parents didn't know any better. I guess that in 82, jam-packed hospital, and they told him, do you want your wife to be sent out to another hospital that's less packed? Mm. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. Ended up going all the way to Cedars-Sinai, bro.
Dang.
Yeah. And my dad's all like, what the hell, you know? So I was born in Cedars-Sinai, but, you know, it's like they transferred me from
So they popped General in the Hospital, ambulance.
Yeah, and then took me over to Cedars-Sinai. That's the story that my parents tell me. Yeah, and my dad's all like, tenías 10 años y no te, todavía no eras mío, todavía te estaba pagando. Yeah, damn, man, so it's a trip. I don't know what was going on in 82, but I could tell from the classroom sizes.
What month?
March.
March, huh?
Yeah.
This is the thing I can think of aside from like spring.
Yeah.
You know, we people got busy in the winter months.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So you were born in Cedar, and then your family already had a home
here. Yeah, we already had a home here. Yeah, established home here. I lived in Boyle Heights up until I was 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the situation, it was crazy. You know, I was one of those babies that late 80s, early 90s, that those were my like youth years. And my dad's all like, oh, man, it's getting crazy out here. You know, the violence and all that stuff. He's all like, we're going to a better part of the city. So he thought a better part of the city was East LA. So we crossed over the county line. And so half of my life was here. And then the other half was in East LA.
So then that's where you like went to high school and everything. Yeah. Where'd you end up?
Junior high was at Stevenson because it was like border, you know?
Yeah.
And then high school was at Garfield.
Nice.
But cool. Like every kid that, you know, kind of messes up during regular school, you got to take summer classes. And some of the summer classes, some of the summer classes weren't offered at Garfield. So you had to come over to Roosevelt.
You know what's funny about that? Is I still had to do that all the way up to my senior year. And the folks I was with were like, you know, it's just like random folks like me who were like, I don't know, huevones or whatever, you know.
Right.
But it was more obvious when in that class I was in, it was like the misfit kids.
Oh,
so it's like you had the goth kids.
Right.
You know,
right.
And part of one of the classes I had to make up was PE. Senior. So, you know, we're out there in our gym clothes and like, and like the goths and the punks, you know, they still got their like their neck straps and like their studded wrists.
Right. You know, like, damn, my like, folks, my peeps right here.
Yeah, you know, you're like, well, it's because I mean, I laugh because, you know, we're wearing gym clothes and those are funny looking in themselves.
Right, right.
And then you add like a little bit of the punk aesthetics and it's just.
You can take them out
for an hour, man. Yeah. It's, come on, we're going to play soccer or something.
Right.
And, that's funny. Were you doing like anything extracurricular in school, outside of school?
So right now that you mentioned PE, I hate a PE.
Who doesn't?
So in order to avoid PE, I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to play sports, which wasn't any better because the workload was heavier, you know?
And you got to maintain your grades.
Exactly. So, I went to, every possible sport that you could think of, I probably played. Played volleyball.
I like volleyball.
Volleyball was cool. It was an experience for sure. Just because we would go out to like the west side and play all those güeros.
And you're so just much like, taller.
Bro, it was insane. And these kids were like 14, 15 years old just jumping out of the gym,
dang,
you know? It was an experience. But I played football, played basketball, played volleyball. Didn't play baseball. I think the season was right around the same time as baseball or like one of those seasons intertwined. So I just never did play baseball.
Because I was going to say maybe you were in like a different track. That's why it was off season.
That's probably what it was too. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, it was an interesting time. Like I said, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And the crazy thing was that, like, my dad's all like, oh, yeah, we're going to move to a better part of the city. He purchased a home, which, thank God, you know, he was fortunate enough to do that around that time. But he purchased a home right across the street from, like, this crack house.
He didn't know that at the time.
And it was a bunch of cholos. It had no idea. bunch of cholos. So, you know, drive-bys were common back in those days.
Damn, man.
So these dudes would obviously shoot back. And we lived diagonal to where that property was. So it was just like bullets flying back and forth.
Damn. Yeah,
it was nuts.
Like, maybe, yeah, because at some point that became like a reflex. What fireworks or not, just get on the floor.
Yeah, I remember this one instance where they had killed one of the dudes. And we lived on the street where at the tail end of the street there was a church. So they were going to go to do the funeral and all that stuff, right, for the guy that had they shot the previous week. So I guess the rival gang heard about what they were doing.
Dang.
And they did another drive-by and then shot another dude.
At the funeral,
dude.
I thought the only time I've ever seen that was in the movie Colors.
Right? Yeah, no. It was nuts, man. It was nuts. Like, these are the stories
A funeral?
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you become desensitized after a point, you know, because you experience so much at an early age that it's just second nature. Like you said, you know, it's like, oh, damn, I gotta hit the deck.
Yeah, you gotta watch
out. Your hair to pop.
Were you feeling those pressures to be part of that?
You know what? Shout out to all the madres out there. And right now it's gonna be Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, shout out to all those madres and of course dads too, you know. But my mom was the one that was just keeping us in check. It was my brother and I, and she was the one, you know, mijo, debes que ir a la escuela, mijo, don't hang out with those kids, mijo. So she was the one keeping a tight leash on us, you know, from a young age.
Mm.
And, I got to thank her for that, because if not, dude, it's like, you know, you have two parents at work.
Yeah.
And who's there to raise you? You know, the streets. So if you don't have that one parent that's just consistently, like, keeping on track of your home studies and just making sure that you're going down the right path, then yeah, you become a victim to the streets.
Yeah, it's, man, it's just too easy to fall into that trap.
So yeah.
from there, did you go to college?
I did. So I graduated in 2000. I'm dating myself here.
2002.
Yeah, 2000. And it was a dream of mine to become a pilot.
Like, oh, really?
What? Yeah.
Wait, you're thinking like, you know, small plane, commercial?
No, commercial. Oh. Commercial pilot. So,
there was... Have you ever flown a plane? Like, in a plane up to that point?
I did simulators.
Oh.
Yeah, so that kind of like sparked the interest, you know, at a young age. And I want to say I was like 14, 15 when they took us over to, I think it was somewhere in Long Beach.
Okay, so like a museum or something, an air show.
Exactly. And I was like, oh man, this is cool. You know, I want to become a pilot. I knew from the get go that I didn't want to go the military route.
Hmm.
You know, like join the Air Force or any of that stuff. And there was a pamphlet that arrived. I guess when you have career day, like at high school, you put your interest in all that stuff, and then the counselor just starts sending you all this information on like how you could get that career, right?
I saw you were interested in this. Here you go.
Yeah. So she gave me a pamphlet about this school in Oklahoma, Tulsa, out of all places. And I was like, all right, cool. Started doing my research. And I was like, all right, well, yeah. I mean, I guess if I don't want to go the military route, this is what I got to do. So long story short, ended up going there 2000. Still doing my gen eds. September 11th happens the following
year. Damn.
Rained all over my parade, dude, because the industry was going bankrupt. Nobody was flying. I was going to be in so much debt once graduating that a job wasn't even secured, you know. So the way it works is you have to accumulate a certain amount of hours, hours.
Flight experience,
exactly,
yeah.
In order to, you know, go from little planes to the bigger ones and onto commercial planes. So yeah, September 11th happened, and that just, like, rained all over my parade. I switched majors to communications, dealt with, like, the instrumentation inside the planes, radar, satellites, all that system, which was cool, you know, it was interesting. And then,
so, would that, it's a kind of path that would take you to, like, work at a tower, no?
Exactly, working at a tower. And it was cool, it was interesting, came back, and once again, the industry was just, you know, there was really no job opportunities. they did offer a radio and television class as an elective. So that sparked
It's communications, yeah.
Yeah. So that sparked another interest of mine since I was a kid of film and television. And, yeah, I came back, then went to film school here, and the rest is history.
Nice. So would you say, is that where you got started with, like, where you are now in your path with, like, you know, videography, photos? Because you have, like, a dope eye, man, for, like, what you post up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know what? It started earlier, dude. My dad had one of those old VHS cameras.
It's like a brick.
And, bro. And I remember being, like, 10, 11. And I would never come out in any of the videos because I was the one always taking them, you know?
Oh, quinceañeras,
the birthdays, whatever festivity that was going on around that time. Yeah. I was the one filming it.
Were because you're like, no, give it to me, I'll do it, or they
no
they told
because
you.
They didn't know how to operate it.
Oh,
so my dad is all like, oh, sí, no, pues aquí que le empujas este botón y que haces acá para allá, and I would let them try to figure it out. And half of the video was them leaving the camera on record and hanging on their shoulder, and it was just swinging.
You're wasting the tape.
Yeah, swinging side to side. And by the time they actually wanted to record something that was good, there was no tape left. They're all like, mijo, ¿qué pasó? Dice tape band o algo así, que ya no hay. I was like, dude, it's like, let me figure it out, you know? but yeah, and I think that shows, like, first-gen kids, right? The way that we have to kind of take over certain situations.
I mean, you can read the manual, you can figure it out.
Exactly.
And, you know, being more younger, even then you're like a little more tech savvier than mm-hmm. most folks. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that sparked it. And And like I came back, like I said, from Oklahoma, and then went to film school. And then, yeah.
Where at?
Yeah. I went to the Art Institute. Shout out to those crooks.
Wait, one of those schools like went bankrupt or something, right?
That's
like,
them.
That was
Yeah. So they have different branches all over the country. And the one that I went to was in Santa Monica.
Ah.
And
Why there though? Like, why you came back?
I finished college. I worked in the industry that I don't even want to say it was the aero industry, because I was working out of a company in Torrance building these circuit boards that were going to power, like, instrumentation inside planes.
All right.
Yeah, and it was pretty much an assembly line, dude. Mm. It was nothing to
it's
do
like,
with.
Do what I got
to
do.
Yeah, boom. Yeah, and I hated it, you know. I was like, damn, dude, like, this is what is it? Like, so I was like, you know what? So then that kind of like, all right, well, what's the next step? Like, I can be doing this, you know? And film school. And then that was one of, like, I applied to different film schools. A lot of the credits didn't transfer from that college. So they were kind of like the ones that said, oh, yeah, we'll take on the credits because it's a for-profit, right?
Yeah.
So they're all like, oh, we're going to make credits. Money off of, yeah. So that's one of the schools that kind of, like, took me in because of all the credits that I had previously had, all the gen eds and all that stuff, which I didn't want to do again, right?
Nobody does.
Yeah. So, man. Just crooks. Crooks. Just, yeah.
Even back
any
then,
for-profit.
Well, probably even more so back then, because then, like, the alarms were, like, ringing at people's, and, like, attention to, like, for-profit schools are, like, out here ripping people off.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I met a lot of cool peeps there, honed in on the skills, and then slowly started transitioning into the industry that I'm in now.
And when you were there, did you have in mind, like, a specific focus of, like, maybe this or that, or is that something that just kind of came along as you were in school?
I always wanted to do camera.
Okay.
Always, like, camera and photography.
So behind the scenes.
Exactly. Yeah, and they pretty much it's a well-rounded program. They do editing, producing, directing.
Even if you're not going to go into that to
exactly.
give you that experience.
Exactly. Kind of to know every aspect of production.
Damn, what were you using back then? Like
the
Max with the little rainbow colors on the back? That's what I used in high school.
Yeah, man.
Final Cut.
This was 05, so it's been a minute. But they were just transitioning from VHS to DV, to mini DV. And that's when
this DVD, that little CDs never went anywhere.
Nah. No, they got stuck somewhere and they just, yeah, never made it through. But yeah, so it was little mini TVs, and yeah, most of our stuff was shot on mini TVs, and then we started editing on like on Final Cut and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
man.
Yeah.
I still remember, like, I mean, most people don't know that, like, the video that I do is like from the skills I picked up in that high school class. And like picking up things here over the years and shit.
Yeah, and I think nowadays it's just more accessible, you
Oh,
know?
so much more. But I think now, well, professionally, at the professional level, there's this fork in the road where Adobe just has everybody like pinched. Like you're dependent on Adobe, and you know they can make their it's like a monopoly. They can make up the prices they want, you know, put whatever terms they want on it, all these things. And you know, for folks that are in the creative industry, you know, animating, videography, photography, photo editing, graphic design, all that stuff, I think that most of the time that's what they teach you at school to work with, so you're dependent on it. And now it's like shit. We're like, well, I mean, there are some alternatives out there, but you kind of have to go out of your way to find them. And then the other thing too is there's more and more services and like phone apps and websites like Canva, you know, where everything's just like, you know, here's a template and you can choose from hundreds, just fill in the blanks and like switch the picture and stuff like
Exactly. That's what I was saying about accessibility, you know? It's just
that.
like they have it laid out for you where you just like you
That's
fill
what
in
I
the
do
blanks.
sometimes. It's like, yo, man, I'm not trying to spend hours on this where, like, it's a flyer that nobody's gonna see and just ignore. Credit, you know, all credit to people who that's their jam, you know, and there's some amazing flyers out there, but sometimes, you know, that's just one thing I gotta get done on top of, like, a bunch of other things. So I appreciate, you know, those services that kind of help you just get it out of the way and boom.
Totally. Exactly.
Dang, so 2005. All right. So. Were you able to nab any like internships, like real world experience while you were in school?
I did. One of the professors really took a liking to me, and he's all like, "Hey, man, I got this opportunity covering like red carpet events, movie premieres, and
Oh,
all that stuff."
cool.
And it was like for, I kind of reference this when I tell this story. Do you remember Buena Vision back in the days?
Yeah.
Kind of like that local access, public
Dude,
access
that's what I was
channel.
telling somebody the other day. I miss public access television.
Yeah, so this was kind of like that, but these dudes were really connected in the sense that they would have like major access to any kind of like movie premiere, right? Going down in
So they're
Hollywood, or
plugged in there.
they were plugged in, even though it was a small little public access
Oh,
channel.
man. I mean, I got into some of those kind of things back in the day, just saying, you know, oh, I'm here with this place, and they're like, oh, yeah, that looks like a reputable news organization. Even the school newspaper.
So yeah, that was kind of like my industry first industry experience.
Yeah, you're the cameraman, and then the reporter
And
is
the
like talking to
reporter,
the celebrities, like, so what did you do for this movie?
exactly. And it was cool, man. It was like, you know, you're a kid that you don't have access to that, and just being there and seeing like all the kind of movie stars that you grew up watching on
See
the big
all the
screen, and you're just like,
paparazzis, all
damn,
the show.
So yeah, man, it was cool. And then from there, they obviously I wasn't getting paid, you know, it was just experience, paying your dues, you know, you got to pay your dues. From there, one of my cousins was producing music videos for big like Spanish artists,
Nice.
like El Bukis, Juanes, bunch of artists. So he kind of took me under his wing, and yeah, I started working with them, kind of learning the ropes and all that stuff. And then when in 06, when shit hit the fan with May Day
Yeah.
and all the immigration stuff,
Yeah.
he was working for I don't want to say, but a big television network, and they wanted to do something with that. So we did a documentary on that, following a kid, 18-year-old, super active in the community, super active in the whole immigration process,
Yeah.
and telling the story through his eyes and what he was experiencing at that time. And yeah, man, it was dope. We went to Washington with this kid. He was lobbying, like it
Dang.
was big time.
That's a
And once that happened, I mean, it really sparked like a whole different outlook on the industry, you know, and storytelling, and
That was your turning point of like, all right, you know, I'm over here doing the 9 to 5. Like, here we are at the BET Awards or whatever. You know, standard industry stuff.
Right.
But then this is like that. Damn, this can actually do something.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but yeah, man. And then from there, once again, started paying dues. Documentaries, there's really no money, you know. It's like everything has to be personally funded or mm-hmm. find somebody with a shit ton of money that funds that idea or that storytelling.
Yep.
And so from there, one of my other friends started telling me, hey, you know what? There's a PA gig for all those people that don't know what a PA is. You're like at the bottom of the totem pole in the industry.
Get me my coffee.
Yeah, that's it. It's being a production assistant. So taking out trash, bringing coffees and all that stuff. And I'll always remember this. He always told me, it's like, dude, don't take it as like, oh, you know, grunt work. And, you know, it's like bringing coffee, right? It's like, always remember, it's not about bringing the coffee, but who you're bringing the coffee to.
Oh.
So it's like, okay, well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's like these connections down the line are going to eventually lead up to other opportunities.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They'd be like, hey. I remember you brought me my latte once.
Yeah, you didn't mess it up.
Yeah.
It was two pumps instead of three.
That's actually a great point. Can you follow directions?
Yeah.
How fast can you do that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that started my career in television and mostly like docuseries, reality TV.
And all across the same, just like cameraman. You know, it started like a headset in your ear and the director's like, do this, do that.
Right. So it started PA and then you start transitioning, right? So you go from PA to assistant to camera to director of photography to director and so on and so on, right?
Yeah, you know, the sky's depending the limit.
Exactly what route you want to take. But that led on to the camera career that I'm in now. And it's been amazing, man. It's been great.
And then because I know you have like a second aside from your personal one, a second Instagram for your photography. How did you start getting into that? Because I also know you're like one of the few folks that shoots film too.
Yes. Yeah. So the second Instagram started when, like you said, I started shooting film again. I started first shooting film in film school.
So one of the classes you had to take?
It was a class, a photography class with film. And
I did one too at ELAC with black and white because it was part of the coursework. Yeah,
exactly. So that sparked an interest. But I think we've had this conversation where film is expensive, dude.
You need the paper to buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
The development process.
Uh-huh. It's a whole process.
That's why I took advantage of it. And even now, I still just want to like go back and take like a photo class or two, just because colleges like ELAC, PCC, LACC, you know, they have photo departments and they're like well maintained and super awesome. So, you know, you being a student, you get access to everything, the dark room,
right,
the development, all the equipment and everything that, you know, would cost a small fortune to like set up.
Exactly.
And as a student, you just go in, do your thing, boom.
Yeah. A lot more cost effective.
Yeah. Just bring your own film, bring your own paper.
Yeah, and you're done. You're good to go. But So I started taking pictures back in those days. And then, you know, once fast forward to now, I actually had the money to, you know, the developing process and all that stuff. So I just started shooting again. And the other thing that sparked it was like the archival process of it, right? With digital, it's like, dude, you have a hard drive with so many files, you know? And I don't know. I just like to have that physical aspect of it.
Like the
contact
sheet, yeah. Physical paper.
Exactly, that. Exactly. And I've been fortunate enough to travel to some pretty amazing places. So I was like, all right, well, I want to capture this on film now instead of doing the whole digital route. You know, and I still do, you know, it's like, I'll take my phone out. I have
take
both.
It for the gram.
Exactly. I have both, you know, it's like I have the digital and the film cameras, but mostly it's just been film. And I think it's a whole different aspect too, because you only have, what, 24 exposures, 36 exposures.
Mm-hmm. You're limited.
So with that being said, with digital, you could snap away thousands of pictures, you know.
Just fill up the memory card.
Exactly. Yeah. And with the other one, we're just like, all right, you pick and choose. You know, like, I don't know. Like, is this a good spot?
Right. Right ISO. Uh-huh. Like, all these little details that go into taking just one picture.
Exactly.
Damn.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I did ask you at Taco Madness what camera you have with now. Like, but remind me.
Pentax.
A Pentax.
Yeah, a Pentax. And that was a gift from my dad, actually. One of his friends was getting rid of it, and it was right around that film school era. And he's all like, hey, mijo, so-and-so is getting rid of this camera. Do you want it? I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Dude, full-on package. It was insane. It was like long lens, the 50 mil, no the way. Wide angle.
Dang.
And I was like, he's just getting rid of it? He's all like, yeah, ya no la quiere. I was like, ya no la usa, so si la quieres, I was like, hell yeah, send it my way.
Comma.
Yeah, super comma.
Dang.
Super comma. Yeah.
I'm just like, damn.
Yeah, I was like, it just fell into my lap, you know, because other kids were all like, dude, I don't know how I'm going to get a film camera, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it damn. Was nuts. Yeah.
So from those like early experiences, like when you were talking about paying your dues, what are like the, some like memorable moments you had? Because, I mean, that kind of work, you know, it leads you somewhere, but that journey is kind of hard sometimes.
It is. You're working for less than minimum wage when you put in the amount of hours that you're working, right? But, dude, I think it's just the experiences of having, like, the PA nation. That's what we would call it, you know? Other like-minded folks that were trying to transition into their careers and what career path that they were trying to take, and just following each other's journeys, you know, and like hyping each other up and being like, yeah man, it's like, you have a personal project, yeah, let's do it, let's go and do this.
It's or that community you're building with
exactly
each other.
Exactly.
Nice.
So now fast forward to now, and like a lot of those same kids that we were back then are now, you know, editors or doing the same camera work or producers or whatnot. So, you know, everybody kind of transitioned into
nice.
The position that they're in now.
Do you, can you mention like some of the places like maybe you worked at, like the productions?
No, but I could just mention the type of genres. I mean, I've shot anywhere from cooking shows to competition shows to
so like more like reality-based TV.
Yeah, right? Reality-based TV. Yeah.
And then you just like happen to fall into that because that's where like the job was at?
Pretty much. That's kind of like where I started transitioning throughout my career, you know?
Because I don't think they teach that at school, like how to shoot for reality TV.
They don't. They don't. Nah. And
make
it's,
sure you can't the reaction shot and then pan over.
Dude, it's crazy because right now that you mention it, like you get it. Some scenes you're covering by yourself. So as
like
a single shooter,
producers in the ear.
Yeah. So you're listening on one ear to the audio that your audio mixer is sending. And then you're listening to the director on the other ear, the producer or whatever.
No way.
So dude, it's more than just holding up a camera, you know, you're visually telling a story.
Yeah.
So it's like, and after a while it becomes second nature, in the sense that, for instance, you get stuck in some of these shows for a month, right? Mm-hmm. A month and a half, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Because you're like, all right, I want to see how this goes.
Exactly. So, you're two characters in the house are telling jokes. After a while, you know who's going to give you that reaction.
Oh, because you're getting to know everybody.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, yeah, this dude usually has pretty good reactions to the jokes. Or this dude has a certain look, you know, a certain reaction.
Or you know
so
these two foos are beefing or something.
Exactly. So you start analyzing the people that you're filming, you
dang.
Know. So it's the whole different aspect to it,
dude.
Other than like just holding up a camera.
I think I've said this before plenty of times, but I don't know if I told you this. That one of my dreams is, and low-key still is to be on The Real World.
Oh, what?
Dude, just because, I mean, maybe not everybody grew up seeing it, but I saw it because we had, like, you know,
Black Box.
That budget cable, which was a lot easier to get back then.
The cable from the neighbor.
Yeah. that homie special. And, you know, because I grew up watching MTV and, like, all the other cable shows. But I that reality TV show was so much more different back then.
Right.
Because it was in the early stages. And for me, like, I liked watching it because I was like, oh, shit, like, what are they going to do? Like,
right.
They're living their real life.
Right.
And for me, I was like, man, I mean, I would love to be like the crazy Mexican in the house.
Right.
And I, you know, all my cursing has to be subtitled.
Because the cursing would be in Spanish, right? So they'd be like, what? Like, what is this you're talking
Eric's
about?
Cursing in Spanish again. Speak English.
This is America, damn
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it'd probably be why I'd be what? Cursing out of Spanish.
Because it'll be like somebody from the Midwest or something.
Yeah,
right?
Dude. I mean, and then, I mean, to be on reality TV, that's a whole nother thing. But obviously, being over dramatic, over the top, you know, having some kind of personality, that's like the kind of stuff that gets you on those
yeah.
shows.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just high personalities, you know?
Oh,
yeah, it's crazy. And you know what? It's funny that you mentioned Real World, because I've always thought about a concept of having like a Latino Real World.
Huh.
Where you get a Spanish-speaking person from maybe every, or not every place in Latin America, but, you know, you get a Venezuelano, you get a Cubano, you get a Puerto Rican, you get a Mexican.
Folks.
Yeah, and dude, the lingos are so crazy, you know
it's
what
like,
I mean?
What did he say?
Yeah, and they're all Spanish speakers, right? But it's the lingos that would just get people into trouble.
You know, that's a great idea. Nobody stole that idea. It's copyrighted.
Yeah.
It's because I'm already thinking of, like, different scenarios of, like, okay, you have a language barrier somewhat and, like, trying to understand each other's accents. That's one. Cultural differences, obviously. And then, like, the thing I, like, immediately shot to was, like, food. It's mm-hmm. like, who stole my tapatio?
Right.
It's like, why are you always putting, like, hot sauce on everything?
Yeah, like for somebody in Puerto Rico, like, dude, they don't use hot sauce.
Yeah,
or, you know,
yeah. And then they, I think they prefer more like puerco, pork, mm-hmm. in their dishes too. So I was like, I'm tired of eating pork.
Pork. Yeah.
And I don't like pinto beans. Stop cooking pinto beans.
Right. Give me the black beans.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, can you talk a little bit more about that and, like, your experience as a cameraman? So, like, that, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, I don't think most people would know. Like, you have the two headsets telling you different mm-hmm. things. You're picking up on, like, the vibes and the relationships of the folks. So how is it, like, I guess if you can, like, take us through, like, one of your, like, shooting days.
A shooting day? Well, a shooting day consists of 12 hours. Yeah. So they're super long days.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, you got like pads or anything on your
shoulder? Yeah, you have to. I'm not shooting the entire 12 hours,
okay, right?
Like you get breaks and stuff like that. But yeah, that's your day. That's your typical day. If you get a 10-hour day, you're like, oh, thank God. You know, it's like, damn, because those 2 hours make a difference.
And then, like, I guess wake up call would be whatever, however everybody else is moving.
Exactly. So yeah, 12-hour days. It starts off whether we're getting them waking up. You're documenting these people's lives in and out.
How weird,
you know,
is that?
It is pretty weird. It's definitely voyeuristic, you know? You're a fly on the wall.
Dude, I mean,
that's what we call it.
They know you're going to come in there and film them sleeping.
Yeah.
But, like, y'all just, like, walk in there, kick the door open.
Nah. Nah, you usually, you know, tippy-toe in or whatever. But yeah, it's just like... And I always thought to myself, like, why do we need to do this, right?
Hmm.
But then there's always
like,
there's always a method to this madness. And for instance, if there's something else that's going on around the house with another character, then they'll use those sleeping shots as this character has nothing to do with what's going on with that part of the story.
It's like,
you know,
they're gonna be surprised today.
This fool was completely knocked out. Estaba fucking soñando, whatever, you know. So now it's like, you know, you're compiling the story. It's like, oh, what is this dude doing while everybody else is outside partying or whatever? Oh, este güey está roncando, you know. But yeah, man,
obviously there's B-roll, but most of the shots, you know, I mean it's not like y'all are shooting with film, but still, to make the production just roll by easier, it's like meticulously picked out, no?
Yes. Yeah. It's there's a lot being filmed. Like on a big house show, you're talking about 6 to 7 crews that are constantly rotating. So for instance, Real World, it's one of those 24-hour shows. So you have staggering crews coming in at 7, shifts. At 10, dang. At noon. And then you have the graveyard, right? The ones that are getting all the madness when they're all pedos and doing all of this madre.
That's a trip, too, when you see them, like, trying to go to a club or something. They're like, damn it, we got to get a bigger cab. There's not enough room for the camera guy. We left the boom guy out there.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. It's nuts.
Have you been in those situations?
No, but there's been situations where you're like, what the hell is going on right now, dude? Because there's always that one cast member that kind of like breaks the fourth wall.
Oh.
You know, and looks at you and like, you know, you don't want to like, make eye contact. And it's usually like the sober one, right? Like whenever they're going out and partying and there's always this one cast member that's kind of like off to the side, not wanting to give in to the whole madness. And, of course, you're sober, right? You're doing your job. So they look at you and you're all like, oh, my God. Like, they're thinking the same thing that you're thinking, right? Because you're all like, what the hell? Like,
you saw what I saw.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So it's pretty comedic in that sense, you know? But, yeah, man, it's definitely an interesting industry.
That's a trip, yeah. Man. It's just because, I mean, I think at this point, a lot of us are, you know, consumers of reality TV in one way or another. So that's one thing. You know, I was looking forward to you with the interview is you're one of those folks behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I think most importantly, too, you're also like a person of color.
Yes. Yeah. It's rare. I'm fortunate to be working in a production right now that's super diverse. Like the higher ups try to get as much diversity going on, you know, in the crew and whatnot. But there's other crews where it's just like you're the only one, you know. And if you see another dude, you're all like, hey, you know, yeah,
dude.
It seems like I always reference this, like, Dave Chappelle, was it? Like he's freaking walking in, like shaking everybody's hands. And is it Dave Chappelle?
That's it right there.
Yeah, so, you know, like,
come here.
Dude, the code switch is real. Yeah, man, especially on set, you know, it's like, all right, cool. Like, you can vibe with this dude and just shoot the shit. And other people are like, yeah, okay. You know?
Sir, right away.
Yeah.
I'll get you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you don't have to get into too much detail of it, but like from your point of view and your experience, what do you think are those barriers for, you know, not getting enough folks behind the scenes? Because I think most of the conversation when we get into that, and I've had this conversation with folks, is to get them in front of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is it behind, like, all these technical jobs and, like, positions that are out there?
You know what? I've asked myself kind of, like, the same question. And whenever I do come across somebody on the crew that's a person of color and I ask them their route, you know? Like, I'm always interested in, like,
so how'd you get here?
How'd you get here, right? And it's usually always the same thing. It's like, oh, yeah, so I was doing this. I didn't really like it. And then film school sometimes is involved. Film school sometimes isn't involved. But there's always that plug, that one connection, right, that pulls them in and they start working at PA. And it's a rough industry, dude. It's like if you don't know how to take orders from the get-go, like as a PA, it's like you're lost, you know, and you're like,
that's hard.
Yeah, F the establishment, F the man or whatever. Dude, like,
chew that.
At least it's madre, you know. But and it's not something that you're super submissive either, you know. It's like sometimes you like, this isn't cool, you know. I'm not gonna be able to do this or whatever. But yeah, I think first of all it's accessibility, right? I think just going on to film school, or sometimes even
school at all.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's tough to say because it's in our backyard, right?
They're fine.
Yeah, like the industry is here.
Vida,
you know?
Vida is shooting here too now.
Yeah, Vida.
I mean, there's plenty. I mean, a little bit off topic, but like, I get pissed at that shit. Not because, you know, folks are like doing what they're doing. Because at the like the systemic level, it's the fucking city giving these fools like tax breaks to do production here in LA. And in a community like Boyle Heights, it looks much more different than it looks in downtown or other parts of the city. Because here, they just come in and it's very disruptive. There's no, I mean, the most heads up you'll get is those poster. I mean, the signs.
The notices on your door.
The notices when on your door. It's like, hey, we're going to be filming this, and it's going to be such and such. And if you have any questions, here's the contact
info. Right.
But like, they filmed around Mariachi Plaza a lot, and that's just like parking hell for everybody that lives there.
Yeah, man.
It's like, damn it, they're filming.
Yeah. You can't park here from this time to this time. Yeah. And it's like, well, where am I going to go? And then the other thing, like you said, when productions like that come in, like, give back something in the community, in the sense that, like, you know, you're going to have to feed your crew.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Craft There's services. There's a ton of local mom and pop shops that would be more than willing to cater your service, right? Cater the shoot. So, yeah, man, it's just like, just knowing, you know, just being aware. And once you come to, like, these type of neighborhoods, it's like, yo, like, don't just come in and take. Like, try to give something back.
Try to be and go. Yeah, cause then maybe next time they'll welcome you.
maybe that's the answer right there, you know? Every time that a production shoots, like, in a low-income community, maybe you have, like, a handful of kids that are interested.
Yeah, see,
and you just have them, you know, maybe interact with the director if he has time, or just have them
around.
Them there. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Just have them there and just to witness and see how
that was on my
put
mind
together.
A lot, like the last couple of weeks, cuz ¿cómo se llama? Se murió. John Singleton.
Oh, yeah, John. Yeah.
And, you know,
learning
more about his journey, cuz I've been a fan of his movies and his work.
Oh, you
all across
both,
the board,
man.
Like, since I first ran into him. And even, like, what he's doing now with Snowfall, because it shoots in Boyle Heights.
Right.
You know, it's all over South Central. So he's one of those folks where it's, like, a rare, like, you know, he's conscious of what's going on in the industry and what needs to be done. So he tries to do what he can, you know, to change that and, like, you know, connect folks in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's sad, man. May he rest in peace. But yeah, like something definitely, obviously everybody talks, like you said, about the people in front, right, of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also we have to start having that conversation about people behind it and how we could be more inclusive.
PAs, exactly. Like some of the more technical stuff. Like when I see the crews unloading and loading and setting up, it's, you know, it's all Teamsters, which is cool. Like they're union, but then it's, you know, they tend to be whiter.
I think
part of it for me too is like the more I think about it as from like a kind of like a outsider's perspective is it's something that you mentioned earlier. This is hard work and you got to pay a lot of dues early and sometimes for a long time, and to be able to like to do that kind of work and be able to like, you know, make a living is hard.
It is
sometimes they use, like you said, there's that immediacy of, I just need a place to live and, like, you know, do good. And, you know, I can't afford to take, like, a non-paid work.
Exactly. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to, like, you know, you always have to have some type of side hustle when you're in the industry. Because you come to a certain point in your career where you're like, okay, I'm established. You know, it's like my name gets thrown around. But to get up to that point, it's tough, man. It's tough.
That kind of
and
industry?
You'll be... And there was times where you're like, damn, like, what's going to happen next, you know? Like, I haven't worked for 2-3 months,
damn.
You know? So it's like, well, what am I doing now? And, like, there was a lot of times where even my parents were like, dude, ¿qué estás haciendo, you know? It's like, yeah, like, what's going on?
Because,
you know,
like,
working?
You're hanging out here way too much.
Yeah. And, like, the other thing was, like, I was fortunate that my dad had a roofing company. So that was the other thing that kept me kind of like on that hustle, because I was like, damn, I don't want to be doing this.
Hard work, bro.
In the summer.
In the roof.
Forget about it. So he kept me afloat with that. It's like, hey, you want to work? All right, cool. I'll chingarle, you know?
Yeah,
chingarle. So I think that kind of helped out with the work ethic leading into the industry, you know, because like you said, it's hard work and they're both demanding, you know.
So going back a little bit to like your day-to-day work being, you know, part of the film crew and the team, what are some of the things you enjoy most, like right now, like where you're at being behind the scenes and like what you're doing?
I think it's the camaraderie of everybody that it takes to put out a product. you know, and I think that was established early on in the career, just because you know, you look at a 30-minute show, but you don't think about, like, most of the people cut the credits, you know, but dude, there's a lot of people
Credits, boom.
behind.
This isn't a Marvel movie. I'm not gonna watch
Exactly. But even for small
that.
shows, you know, you have a lot of people behind the scenes putting
Yeah.
this product out, and it's
It's like
just the camaraderie.
mixers, audio, visuals, catering,
Dude,
makeup.
everything. And these people become family, you know. Sometimes you spend more time with the people on the set than with your actual family,
Yeah.
you know. You're traveling the world with them.
Probably staying together too, no?
So it's one of those things where, yeah, just the camaraderie that comes with working in this type of business, in this type of industry, where everybody's on the same page, you know. It's like, all right, well, this is what needs to be done, this is what
Like
we got to do.
today, boom.
Boom. And I think it's one of those industries where it's like you can't go a day without answering an email, if that makes any sense, you know. Dude, it's like, you know, there's other
Well,
industries where they leave you
yeah. I
hanging,
mean, with
and
you, it's like so many things can change, like from one day to another.
exactly. So yeah, everything's just like on point, you know. Everything has to be like, it might not always be 1, 2, 3. It might go like 1, 4, 2, 3, you know, but you always have to be on your
You
toes.
gotta
And
be ready,
exactly.
man. Do you find that exhausting?
It is. It is. After a while, yeah.
Because
But it's second nature by
you've been
now.
doing it for a while now, yeah. So you're in the mix. You know what the score is. You know the tempo. It's like boom, let's start dancing.
It is exhausting, especially now with the family. You know, I have a soon to be 2-year-old, and it's tough, man, when you don't have that. You know, oh, where
Yeah.
are we going? All right, cool, vámonos, you know. And now it's just like, oh damn, like, all right, cool, I'm visiting all these cool
And I'm
places,
gonna
but
be
at the same
gone
time,
X amount of time.
exactly, missing out on family life, you know. And you know what, once again, I've been fortunate on to where I'm able to bring them out, you know. I'm able to like have them taste a little bit of what it is that I do. And the little one, I mean, she doesn't even know how privileged she is, dude. She's just showing up like, yo, I'm here to party, what's up? But yeah, man, she's definitely experiencing life. Yeah.
Disneyland,
Yeah, she's definitely experiencing life like no other, you know. And yeah, that I think that's what it's all about too, you know, like providing now that you have the family, now that I have the family, sorry, and yeah, hoping that they get to experience some of what you get to
go. Yeah,
experience, you know.
man, because this is what you've been working for. For
Exactly.
so long. And it is actually a good transition point too of like can you share with folks like some of the places you've been? Because like the one that sticks out to me is from like an Instagram photo you posted where your caption, and you can explain it a little better, where you're in Bora Bora and you're like, yo, I've only seen places like this on National Geographic, and never in your wildest dreams did you think you would be there in person.
Yeah, man, it goes back to growing up in the hood, you know. It's like you never in your wildest dreams, you know, you would think that you would go to some of the places, some of these places.
Because I was looking through your Instagram, I was like,
Oh,
man, you got
yeah,
like
dude.
Iceland, Russia,
Yeah, man.
I forgot you were on top of some mountain.
Like the Andes Mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, I've been fortunate, man, in that sense. Bora Bora was just one of those dreams come true, you know, and especially to be able to bring the family with me. You know, like I said, the little one's so freaking privileged right now. She doesn't even understand, dude.
It's like your family doesn't go on vacation.
They were like everybody on the island, like, oh, a little Moana. That's what they would call her, you know, all the locals. But yeah, man, I think with the hard work also comes that privilege, you know, of getting to experience all these
Yeah,
super cool
man. Those
locations.
rewards.
Super cool, just the food, you know,
That's also
access
something
to the
too.
food, the cultures, the people. Yeah, so I try to take that, soak that in, you know, because you could get caught up in the day in, day out of work,
A grind.
especially
Yeah,
because
no.
it's 12-hour days, right? So like on your days off, you're tired, you're all like, damn, dude, like all I want to do is rest. But then you're in a foreign country and you're all like, what? Like, nah, man. I know my break is coming maybe in a month or 2 months, whatever it is, I'll rest then. But right now I gotta live it up, and
I gotta take advantage
and yeah.
And I'm assuming it must have been easier for you to do this when you were younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing, you know, the upkeep on your body, dude. Like you gotta be physically like in shape and just maintain.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're a runner. You're one of those people.
Yeah. One of those people. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the crew, the Boy Heights Bridge Runners.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite pictures, because you're out there repping, you know, the Bridge Runners, and you're in fucking Russia.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I try to rep everywhere that I go, you know. It's like, especially the crew, it's family, dude. It's like this past weekend, one of the homies, his daughter just turned one. And everybody's there, you know, like a lot of people from the Bridge Runners, and you're building community, you know, more than anything. And yeah, it's like you put on that shirt and you kind of like wear it with pride, you know. It's like, yo, this kid from Boy Heights is out here repping. Yeah. So,
dude, I'm the same way. I mean, even if it's like in, like traveling within the United States, like I'm in New York. Yeah, what's up, Boy Heights?
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
What's up? Oh, what? Shut up.
Right.
You ain't shit here.
Right. Yeah, man.
What have been some of your favorite places to go? Or like that you visited?
I think Iceland. Iceland was definitely.
Was that when you were in like that igloo bar?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but Iceland kind of went through the same economic downfall that we went through.
No shit.
Yeah, like a couple of years after.
So it's like something similar, but like, okay.
Exactly, a couple of years after, and the bankers, instead of getting bailed out, they got thrown in jail.
Oh, shit.
Which is something the U.S. should have done instead of giving them more money, you know? Anyways, off topic. But so what Icelandic Air was doing at that point, in order to, like, you know, bring tourism back and all that stuff, they were offering a layover in Iceland up to 7 days, and then they would fly you anywhere else in Europe for free. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey,
just hang out for a week.
Yeah, hang out up to a week, you know, here, and then we'll fly you out anywhere else in Europe. No, so, dude, shit. It was, yeah, at that point, it was kind of like a no-brainer. I'm like, yo, I gotta go check this place out, you know?
Where's my parka hat?
Exactly.
Give me my thermals.
Yeah, man. But, dude, it was just like, once you get out of, like, what's the main city, which is Reykjavik, and you just go out into the boondocks, you stand in one location, and you do a 360, and it's a postcard at every place that you turn.
I mean, I've seen that, obviously, in TV and, like, in shows, but to be there?
It was insane. Yeah, it was insane.
That's like a Microsoft Windows like screensaver.
Yeah, and my girl's a huge Bjork fan. So yeah, she found out and she's like, "Why you were in Iceland?" And this was before we were together. And I was like, "Oh, did you run into Bjork?" I was like, "Yeah, she, you know, she just hangs out at coffee shops, taking pictures with all the tourists."
Yeah, you know, she's out there with some Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
man,
dude. And then, whereabouts are you, like, currently, like, with your production?
The production currently, it's on hiatus right now, but then I think we're picking up back up next week, and your guess is as good as mine, man. I have no idea.
Can you share with, like, what you're working on right now?
Yeah. It's I won't get into the specifics, but it's pretty much documenting a basketball player that plays locally. And he has two younger brothers that are trying to make the league, and we're just documenting.
Following
that journey. Yeah, and I'm a huge basketball fan.
Nice.
Especially of the team that he plays for.
Local team,
yeah. So yeah, man, it, once again, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where it's just like fortunate, you know, to be doing something that you love and then getting to document people that you look up to, you know, and like organizations that you look up to and stuff like that.
What's that like? Because you're there, you're part of the production team. Like, is there any like written, unwritten things about like hanging out with folks who are like the stars of the show, or like, you know, who are the ones that are in front of the cameras?
Yeah, this one is a little more lenient. Like I said, you're spending more time with these folks than your actual
Yeah,
family
'cause I mean, like
sometimes,
you
you
know each
know?
other like first name basis almost.
Exactly. And it is exactly like that. So sometimes, like, even before we pick up the camera, it's like, oh, good morning, how you guys doing?
How
And
you
it's
feeling
rare, and
today?
yeah, it's rare, like in any other shows where you break that fourth wall, you know? But once you're in it, then you're in it. Like,
You
cameras
guys
are
do your
up, and it's
thing,
like,
we'll be
yeah,
over here. You know
exactly.
us.
Exactly. But yeah, man, it's been cool. It's been cool. And they treat us like family too, and everybody's super cool. Obviously you gotta keep the professionalism
Of
there.
course.
But yeah, it's been dope. It's been a pretty cool experience. Yeah.
Nice. Damn. All right. And then I guess my last question or second to last question is, and you've kind of already shared a little bit about this, but how is it adjusting to that dad life?
Dude, dad life is real, bro.
Because
It
when
is
we met, you were on
crazy.
that bachelor life.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dad life is amazing. I mean, thank God for mom, you know? Mom has been the rock that pretty much, holds the fort down and keeps everything going. And yeah, shout out to her, because without her, dude, it would be insane. But yeah, like, I'm talking about these breaks, right? Like, all right, well, I'm back from production. I get a chill. Nope. It's like, dude, you're on daddy mode now, you know? It's like, daddy, and they don't know any better. It's like, homie, I haven't
You're
seen you in a
here.
month. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
like, you better freaking put in the time now, because you're about to leave, or you might stay local, whatever it may be. But yeah, man, it's just like,
That must be hard, like leaving, 'cause
it is
they don't
tough.
understand right
Yeah,
now.
it's tough. So yeah, man, energy. And the other thing is that I'm not a coffee drinker, so it's like full on just, I think this industry prepared me for that life, because it's, dude, it's 12-hour days, so there's
Non-stop,
no
you're just at
nonstop.
it.
So once the little one came around, it's like, oh, I got this, dude. Like, yeah, I'm good, it's been amazing, just seeing just the development of this little human. And them now talking and going from, just seeing their transition. Yeah, man. And she's beautiful and she's healthy. And
Yeah.
once again, thank God to mom. And yeah, shout out to mom, because she's amazing.
And
Yeah.
then, of course, grandparents.
Grandparents too, dude. Yeah, grandparents are always there. Yeah, that's the other thing, bro. Like, this industry, a lot of people from outside of LA, So a lot of the homies are having kids now, and it's difficult because they don't have that support group. They
Oh,
don't have
because
that
they're out here on their
community.
own,
Yeah.
yeah.
So some of them are like, oh, damn, I got to get a babysitter to do this or to do that. With us, it's like you said, grandparents, and like, both of our parents are pretty much retired. So it's like, ama, queremos ir acá. Okay, tráemela. And they
Yeah.
love it, They love spending time with the little ones,
It's like do
But,
it on a Sunday or the weekend. Take them
exactly.
to McDonald's.
Exactly. But yeah, man, it's been amazing. It's been a blessing. It's definitely a game changer. Everybody tells you, oh yeah, it's gonna change your life. You're like, yeah, whatever, bro. Until you're actually there, you're like, damn, dude, yeah, you were
I
right.
mean, with me, because I'm gonna be 35 in July, and there's no end to the like the kids question from one person or another, right? And I mean, in me, I'm like, no, I'm good. And so is my girlfriend too. She's like, we're both good, thank you. But I have nieces, so I'm always like, I'm never short on kids. But I mean, part of it, I think now, as I keep getting older and I think about it in different ways. Like lately, I've been thinking about it. Am I scared of having kids? Not like, having kids, like having kids and all that, but just that responsibility that you're kind of like talking to, that you're responsible for this little person for, I mean,
Their
guaranteed
well-being.
18 years, but then after
Yeah.
that, and
Yeah,
how they're
man.
gonna, be shaped and, be healthy and what kind of environment they're gonna be and what kind of fucking world we're gonna be, and then they're gonna have to deal with that.
That's a scary part, dude. The world, because you could shield them from, like, oh, don't touch the fire, don't touch this. But there has to be a time where they step out into the world, and you try to mold them and show them morals and show them, dignity and everything that has to pretty much prepare them, to step out and fend for themselves. And it's scary, dude. It's scary, especially with all the shit that you see, you know? No, it's crazy, man. Like, yeah, it's nuts. But, it's like our parents did it.
Yeah,
The
that's the
generation before
thing.
did
You think
it.
about it, it's like they did it, but then I don't know. I mean, they for one way or another, they didn't have like the same like experience with it because it's so completely different. And I'm just like, well, I mean, my parents did it, and they only got an education from like so and so or whatever. And here I went to college and I can't figure out this shit.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different times. It's definitely different times. Like my folks got here in the 70s,
Oh man,
and
yeah.
yeah, it's like you said, my dad's sixth grade education, and yeah, it's like once again, shout out to my parents for being able to provide and give us everything that we possibly need, even though we're still broke, but they tried. But yeah, man, it's awesome. Like back to the question of having the little one, it's amazing, dude. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. There are times where you're just like, oh man, like how do I deal with her crying or stuff like that? But you figure
You
it
can't give
out,
him a
dude.
cookie all
Yeah.
the
Like, here's Baby Shark. Oh, it's not
time.
working. It's not working.
Oh
Oh,
man, I was gonna ask you something about that too. I forgot now. Damn it. See, that's why I write things down. What was it? It was gonna be
you ask
something
me about
about.
Baby Shark?
No. I was just hearing like a tone version like the other day.
Oh.
I think I was trying to ask you something about like maybe like deciding to like live like continue living in the neighborhood like, and like raise a
Oh,
family
okay.
here.
Yeah, I think I was
'Cause
born and
like you
raised
said,
here.
you were here for the rough times, and now things are like changing, and now times are still rough, but a completely different way.
It's tough in the sense that LAUSD, dude. Bro, like that's a whole freaking podcast in itself, And
LAUSD trauma.
yeah, and my wife, she's an educator, She's a teacher. So she knows firsthand, of how the whole bureaucracy works and all of that stuff. But it's tough, dude. It's tough. It's like you pay top dollar to go to these more affluent neighborhoods, and you're not just paying top dollar for your property, but you're paying top dollar because you have access to that public education, right? Like everybody talks about South Pass and their high school and their elementaries and being some of the top,
UMPCC,
yeah. Some of the top public educational como se dice,
school,
institutions or
yeah.
schools, yeah. But yeah, man, it's tough. And here it's just like it's forgotten, It's like the neighborhood's always been forgotten. Like there's folks trying to do good things, but there's always under-resourced, all the things that the teachers are pretty much striking for.
Yeah.
And I think it stems even from when we were in high school.
Oh, for sure.
It's like the overcrowdedness. You're
Yeah.
talking about freaking 35 to 40 kids per class.
That was me.
Dude, and fast forward to almost 20 years later, and it's the same issue. So at what point, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I definitely want to raise her here. It's like have another generation of somebody born here and
Yeah,
getting out
yeah.
and not only being book smart but street smart. Hey, don't fuck with me. Nah.
No, I think for me
But.
that's also part of it, like that train of thought of like kids and where to raise them and how to raise them. It's like I mean, for me, I wouldn't want them to go through a lot of the things I had to go through, but at the same time, that experience shaped me to be who I am. And I mean, that's more on me too, because I'm just so hard headed and I have to learn things the hard way. But I mean, I thought about that sometimes, because I mean, I'm in that age group where all the folks around me are having kids and settling down. It's like, well, how do you go about that? Where do you want them to learn those set of morals and values and ethics? But I wouldn't know how to like translate that to them.
Yeah.
You know, because the first thing I can think of is, all right, I'll do what my parents did.
Right.
You're like, put you to work at you're 5 years old and go get a job.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like, dang, that's a dilly of a pickle right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. We're just, you know, going with the flow. And like I said, I have an amazing partner, so we're figuring it out on
the tag team action. Yeah, that's where it's at. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And so what do you got going on, like, in the near future? Like, where can folks find, like, what you're doing?
On Facebook. Yeah. This show that I'm currently working on, it's all being broadcast on Facebook.
No shit.
Yeah.
Exclusively on Facebook?
Exclusively on Facebook. No way. Yeah, Facebook is getting into the game.
And the back end, is that still the same? Like the production and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, like, instead of from it going to a network, it's like, all right, it just goes to Facebook.
It just goes to Facebook.
That's a trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody now is trying to get into the game. Disney. You know, with their whole streaming service.
That they're Disney, gonna release. Man. I hate Disney now. They're trying to own everything. That's a legit monopoly.
Bro. Yeah,
I'm like, why is this shit being broken up with antitrust laws?
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. I mean, crazy. Amazon is going that same fucking route.
Yeah.
It's turning into a labor podcast.
And Uber and Lyft.
Give the workers their rights.
No, but yeah, man, it's crazy where the industry is going, you know, because like you said, monopolization, they're trying to, you know, big fish eat little fish. And if you don't have the feria, well, then get out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man. And then speaking a little bit to that, do you feel like the industry is going in like a good direction right now? Maybe like the same?
I think.
Because not like is. You're saying. There's now all these new venues for mm-hmm. more possibilities of, like, shows and productions.
Exactly.
And, like, I mean, like, I was making fun of Hentified before, but they got picked up by Netflix, and they started out as, like, this web show.
Right.
Like, quote-unquote web show. I don't know what web it's streaming on. I had to pay to watch it.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you were there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, after that, we're all like, oh, where are we going to watch it? Yeah, it's a web show. All right. Freaking Russia or what? But yeah, I think, like, you said it perfectly. You know, there's new avenues of media being able to be broadcast to a grander, like, audience, you know? So yeah, there's the Amazon, Hulu, Netflix. And I think these companies are starting to see the buying power, mm-hmm. you know, in, like, low-income communities mm-hmm. and people of color.
Yeah, just look at the Fast and the Furious.
Dude.
Are you going to go see El Chicano?
I've heard of it, dude. I heard of it. I saw the trailer, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know why Hollywood can't get our stories right.
Because, right? I mean, yeah, it's somebody behind the scenes. You can see it's not the right people, you know, leading the charge.
Right.
Because, I mean, okay, so if you don't know or have heard about El Chicano, it's a movie. I can't remember the guy's name at the moment. But he's very much, you know, like a stuntman. He's been in the industry for years. Mm-hmm. He's put in his time, and this is where he's moved up to in terms of, like, you know, growing as a professional. And so now he's an actor and he's putting out this movie, and it's just like the most completely detached thing from Chicanismo
that he could possibly think of. Yeah.
Cause it's really going off like this, like, Latinos need their own Black Panther movie.
Right.
It's like, no, a vigilante cop in a Latino community. That's way too close to the Punisher.
Right. But yeah, man, I don't know. I might check it out just to support. But
you know, right? I want to support, but I'm like, but come I'm on, like, don't make me, like, drag my feet,
right?
Or like exactly. La Llorona.
Oh man, don't even get me started on that one, dude. God, they could have called it anything else but that. Like, stick to the same storyline. I don't care. Just don't call it. I haven't. All right. I just, you know, what I've been hearing, Rotten Tomatoes, all
I'm
that
just
stuff.
Waiting for it to come out in DVD.
Right. Yeah.
I'll go when to Redbox.
Yeah. When you wait for a movie to come out on Redbox, you know it's not.
It's not worth it. It's not.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, yeah, back to this, like, how many things we can consume. I was like, I mean, like, I'm excited to go see Detective Pikachu. don't go out to go see that.
Yo, speaking of Pikachu, the counterpart, not the counterpart, but another movie that's coming out is Hedgehog.
Oh, Sonic and how
people,
the Hedgehog.
People were tripping out about his teeth or something
his
like
face,
that.
His face, his aesthetic is not anything like the video game.
So, I don't know. Rumor was that they had to reshoot or change his...
The director publicly said, we heard you and we're going to change
the aesthetic.
Because once you get white nerds mad...
Oh, bro. Forget about it.
Somebody got to talk to the manager.
I want to speak to the manager.
I think where like social media comes in, because if they see this mass, like critical mass of folks angry at something, oh shit, I guess we better change this.
And you know where it comes to, it's their bottom line. You're like, yo, these are the people that are potentially going to be purchasing our product or viewing our product.
It's money.
And if they don't, then that's affecting our pockets, you know? So like, all right, cool.
Yeah, and that's more to like what you were saying with everybody waking up, because I think Coco was that eye opener.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, these fools out here.
Yeah.
That's like their life.
Right.
Let's do more of that. That'll like get us more money.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it can go both ways. It can go in that route where it's something very mainstream and universal, but also with like the roots and connections to something cultural. Or you can just go straight left, right. Like left turn on Albuquerque and end up with something like Ms. Bala.
Right.
With Gina Rodriguez.
Dude, te digo, bro, te digo. Some of these movies, it's just like, why? Oh, and it's been repetition over and over and over, and they don't break out of that mold.
I mean, and that speaks more to, you know, who's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, if I had that kind of money, I'd be bankrolling movies left and right.
Right.
You know, and I'd be like some, like, corrupt studio exec.
Let's get this done.
But everybody would love me because I'd be making all the bomb movies,
right?
You know? And I think for me at least, and I think I'm waiting for that comeback. I mean, it's problematic as it can be, like those old hood movies, Blood In, Blood Out. Obviously not the stereotypical like gang life stuff, but those movies got something right. Mm-hmm. Colors, Mi Familia, all of that. They got something right, and it's we need somebody, you know, who's gonna come up, like maybe even like Richard Montoya from like Culture Clash.
Right.
He's getting into directing. You know, they got that perspective and they know what how to bring it.
Exactly. We just gotta wait. Or maybe just do our own, dude. It's a little freaking B movie. Like
that's
the Mario Almada movies. Do you remember those?
Those
old school freaking Mexican like ranchero movies.
Yeah.
Where it was just like you see the boom in the
shot.
Well,
I mean that's when I start thinking about like shows like Insecure and even Broad City. You know, they like just did some Rascuacha production, put it on YouTube, and then they got picked up.
Yeah. And
then all of a sudden, you know, people realize, damn, they're really good. Like Jordan Peele.
Right.
Like after, you know, his first movie and now Us. It's like he's that fool's gold. He's got the Midas touch right now.
Yeah.
Anything,
and that's the thing, dude. It's always it's sad, you know, the society that we live in, but it always boils down to the feria.
Yep.
You know, it's like, oh, we could capitalize off of his stories and the way he's telling them and not the way we want to tell them. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. Yeah. So.
Well, I have two Instagram accounts for you. Which one do you want to share?
Let's do the photography one.
Okay, so you can find Armando at Mondo Vision, Vision with the Z, 16. So you can see, I think you're pretty good about updating that one too, right?
Yeah.
So like you post photos of like where you're at and what's going on.
Exactly.
And if you want to reach out to them, of course, you know, you can slide in the DMs.
Yeah, ask questions of the industry or whatever.
Yeah, that's I think that's one thing I wanted to ask you too. Before we close out, like what's some advice you want to share with folks who might be wanting to go into like TV production, movie production, this like gargantuan industry?
Yeah, I think right now there's a couple of nonprofits. Off top of my head, I can't remember their names, but I know back in the days, like a couple of folks would put together a huge like art gallery.
Mm.
With photos of the crews, you know, and this would generate money for a specific nonprofit for kids that wanted to be in the industry.
Oh, to get in those programs.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, nowadays I think the access that you have to some of these nonprofits via the internet, you know, it's like you just hey, nonprofits that deal with
Production,
production and stuff like that,
internships.
internships and all that stuff. I think that would be your best route, you know, just to get, you know, who else? Las Fotos.
Oh,
Las
yeah.
Fotos Project, shout out to them.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing amazing stuff with young women, young girls that want to get into photography.
Giving them those
and
skills. Similar on that is the Boyle Heights Beat with
Boyle Heights
journalism.
Beat, exactly. So yeah, there's a lot of folks that in the community that are doing a lot of good stuff for the youth. Yeah, if any of those folks wants to reach out and get me out there talking to their kids at high schools or wherever it might be,
Oh,
like
you
I
missed
said,
that. Like,
reach out.
I think like maybe like a month ago there was Career
You know what? One of
Day.
the homegirls, she teaches over at Mendes,
Yeah, I did
and
it.
yeah, and she reached out, and I was unfortunately not
I
here.
did my presentation with somebody who does video editing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then the year
Yeah.
before that I did it with somebody who works at a
Oh,
nonprofit. They're not exactly too sure where to place me.
okay. You fall like in that spectrum, right? It's
Yeah.
like,
And then
ponemos.
they're starting one at Roosevelt too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Promesa through Promesa Boyle Heights.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean in this day and age, just pick up your cell phone, get out there, do something, you know. And there's opportunities, but you know, no better place to start than like that. That's how I started.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
is there anything else you want to do? Shout outs?
No, I think we're good.
Cool.
Yeah,
All
shout out
right.
to everybody in Boyle Heights.
Yeah, stay up. Thanks again, Armando.
Thank you,
This has
Eric.
been Audible Heights. I'll catch y'all later.